today and you'd like to turn with me to the 78th Psalm. Psalm 78 and verse number 19 says this, "Yea, they spake against God, and they said," here's a question, "can God furnish a table in the wilderness?" That's the question I want to preach about today. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Amen. And when we get through with this, I hope you'll be able to say, yes, He can. Amen. But Israel asked this question, and I'd like to try to answer it here today. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. To be invited to somebody's table is a very special honor. It's not just every day, and it's not just everyone that gets invited to the table. Sometimes we get invited to the living room. And sometimes we'll get invited to the den. But it's not every day that we get invited to the table. I grew up in a family that liked to eat. I'm sure you'd never figure that out. But I grew up in a family of great cooks. My mom, my aunts, and yes, my good wife, they're all great cooks. And I'm a great eater. Amen. I've heard people say, well, I just eat to live. Well, I don't live to eat, but I sure do enjoy it. And it does me more good than some people. Amen. Food likes me, just like I like food. Amen. I still think I'm carrying the first calorie that I ever ate. It likes me. Amen. But to be invited to the table is a very special honor. It means that that somebody likes you when they say, why don't you come on to the table? Amen. And it's a great honor. The Bible has quite a bit to say. I think this word table's in there about 73, 78 times. I don't remember, but it's in there a good number of times. And it always has a great significance. The question that we're asking here today is Israel. They have been in Egypt for 430 years. And then the day of deliverance comes and God delivers them. The last thing they did before they left was they were to have a special meal called the Passover. And they were to gather together in houses and they were supposed to take a lamb, a male lamb of the first year without spot or blemish, and they were supposed to sacrifice that lamb, and then they were supposed to eat it. And if it was too big for the family, they were supposed to get everybody they could in the house, and everybody was supposed to have a good meal, and then they were to, they said, get your garments on and get your shoes on your feet, because you're going to get out of Egypt tonight. And that's what happened. God miraculously delivered this army of slaves in one night's time by the death of the firstborn in the Egyptian households. And so they left, and God miraculously led them. Now, we're not talking about a little group of people. We're talking about perhaps 2 million people. That's a lot of folks. Can you imagine that? And they didn't have any Brookshires and they didn't have Walmart Supercenter. They didn't have Save-A-Lot or Dollar General. They didn't have any hospitals. They didn't have any waterworks. They didn't have any of that. And here they are on this trek. 2 million people across a desert. And they got to missing Brookshire's and H-E-B. And they started asking one another, saying, they got hungry and they said, can God prepare a table in this wilderness? Well, all they had to do was think back a little bit, how that he delivered them out of the hand of a mighty king and provided a way for them in a wilderness, and he gave them this cloud that kept them cool in the daytime and a fire that kept them warm at night, and it was a moving project, and when it moved, they moved, and everything was being taken care of. But as soon as they, you know, when people get hungry, they get grouchy. You ever notice that? It started when we were little, you know. Little babies, they get hungry, they throw a fit. They scream and cry and carry on. Hey, amen. Till you stick a bottle in their mouth and shut them up. Hey, amen. After a while, that's not enough. You got to start putting stuff in it. And then that's not enough. By their teenagers, nothing's enough. Amen. You just can't ever satisfy some people. They're an empty pit. Amen. And so Israel's in the wilderness and they're hungry and they cry to God, can God provide a table in the wilderness? Amen. And he did. The Bible says that he gave them manna. The word manna is an interesting word. It means, what is it? I've eaten stuff like that. We were missionaries, we ate some, and I don't know what it was, and I didn't ask. I don't want to know. Don't tell me. All I know is I took a bite and I swallowed it, and my stomach said, if you send any more of that down here, I'm going to send it all back up. I said, we got a deal. Thank God for my daughter. She ate mine and hers too. So we were happy. Amen. But God gave them manna, and God gave them a rain of quail in the wilderness, and God provided, and he indeed set a table out in the middle of a wilderness and provided everything they needed. So God can provide a table, even in the wilderness. And there was a young man that misfortune had sadly stricken. He was born with the proverbial silver tongue or silver spoon in his mouth. Actually, his tongue was probably just normal. And he had a great future. His father, or his should say his grandfather, was the king. But one day, tragedy struck his family, and on the same day in the same battle, his father, the prince, and his grandfather, the king, were killed. And they began to run for their life because, you see, in ancient times, when a king died, then ambitious men would start killing members of the royal family so they could eliminate them so they could be the king. And so it was a topsy-turvy time when a king died. And so the royal family began to run and seek safety. And that was what was happening. This little boy was 5 years old, and he was his nursemaid was running with him, and she fell and she tripped and she dropped him, and it did something to cripple both of his feet. Well, another man became king. And so this man lived his life in hiding. As a matter of fact, he lived in a wilderness. He lived in a place called Lodabar. It means without pasture or a barren place. And that's where he grew up. He lived his life in obscurity, though he was a prince. He lived his life in fear that one day he might be discovered and somebody would come for him and take his life. One day, the king woke up and he was thinking back over his life. And he remembered his friend Jonathan. And he got to thinking about his friendship and how much he missed Jonathan that had been slain in the battle. And he called in a counselor and he asked him a question. He said, "Is there anybody left of Saul's house that I could show grace and kindness to him?" Amen. I like that. David didn't say, "Is there anybody good?" He didn't say, "Is there anybody perfect?" He didn't say, "Is there anybody educated and intelligent?" He didn't say, "Is there anybody beautiful and worthy?" He just said, "Is there anybody?" And so the counselor says, "Well, let me check." And he finds one member of Saul's house who had been a servant, and he was actually taking care of the lands that belonged to Saul. Of course, all of his heirs are gone. And he comes, he said, "Is there anybody?" And he said, "Yes." He said, "There is one." And then he qualified his statement. He said, "But," he said, "he's lame in both of his feet." In other words, David, I don't think he'd be interested. He doesn't fit the image. He wouldn't fit in here. He's not the kind that is made for a palace. As a matter of fact, he's disqualified because of his disability from ever being a king. I don't think he's somebody that you'd be interested in. But David said, let me send for him. Now, in my mind, I picture this. The day that Mephibosheth had always feared came. Servants and soldiers came from King David that day to that place in the wilderness, that hiding place where he had stolen away and was spending his life in obscurity and in poverty. These messengers from the king show up at his house and he thinks, "They have discovered me." Somebody asked, "Are you Mephibosheth?" And with a trembling voice, he said, "Yes." He said, "The king's calling for you." Undoubtedly, that journey back to Jerusalem was a long journey for Mephibosheth, and his mind was wildly racing with thoughts about what's going to happen when I get to the palace. Surely this will be my last day. When they came and took him carried him into the palace and brought him before the throne, David was sitting there and he threw himself down on the floor, prostrate before him, and he began to worship and give reverence to the king. The first words David said were, "Fear not." Isn't that a beautiful? When you're scared, that's a nice thing for people to say. "Fear not." He said, "I will show kindness unto you for your father Jonathan's sake." And then he said, "I will restore all of your father's lands to you." And then he said, "You're going to eat at my table continually for the rest of your life." The day that Mephibosheth so greatly feared became the greatest blessing that could ever have been bestowed upon him. Amen. Instead of eating the dust of the desert, now he sits at the king's table and dines in the finery and the very best that the kingdom has to offer, because of the kindness of the king. Can God prepare a table in a wilderness? He did for Mephibosheth. He said, "You've been eating dirt long enough, son. Come and dine." And they brought him to the palace. And there he ate at the king's table. My, what a sight that must have been. dinner time at the king's table. I don't know what David ate, but the Bible tells us a little bit about Solomon's table. Let me read you this verse here. This was one meal here. It says that a daily requirement food was in Solomon's table was 150 bushels of flour, 300 bushels of meal, 23 oxen from the fatting pens, or 10 oxen from the fatting pens, 20 pasture-fed cattle, 100 sheep or goats, as well as deer, gazelles, roebucks, and choice fowl. That's a pretty good dinner. And that was just one day. And the next day they started all over again. And it was that kind of table. Now, I've never eaten at a king's table. Yeah, I never had that privilege. I've been to a few castles, but I never got invited for dinner. I've been to the White House, but they didn't ask me to stay for dinner. I didn't get to the table. Isn't that a shame? Amen. But I didn't. Nobody invited me. But it's a special thing to be invited to the table, and especially to the king's table. And I want you to get this. He didn't say you're going to be a guest at my table. He said you're going to eat at my table continually. Every day. When it's breakfast, you come to my table. When it's lunch, you come to my table. When it's supper time, you come to my table. What a time. Amen. And so here it comes. I mean, it's dinner time. The bell's rung. Everybody's coming. They're all seated. Amnon's there. He's a smart, sharp-looking young man. Sitting beside him is Absalom, and he's all of his physical perfection. And beside him is sitting the scholarly Solomon. And there's Tamar, the beautiful daughter, or Tamar, the beautiful daughter of David. And they're all seated, and all of a sudden everybody's waiting to hear this clump, 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 clump. And they said, here comes Mephibosheth. Wait just a minute. Amen. And there he comes in swinging on his crutches, both lame feet. But I'm telling you what, when he sits down at the table and he sticks his feet under the tablecloth, you can't tell him the difference from Mephibosheth and all the rest. He looks the same. Because David said, you're going to be a king's son. You're going to sit at my table. Amen. Hey, let me tell you something. I was kind of like Mephibosheth. I wasn't lame in my feet, but I was lame in my heart. I was lame in my will. I was lost in my sin. I was depressed and discouraged. I was down and I was out. But Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, called to me. And He said, I want you to come out of the desert. And I want you to sit down. And I want you to eat at my table. And He said, this is not just good for today. This is not just a friend's day or a Thanksgiving dinner. He said, but you can come and dine every day at the table of the King. You're always welcome here. That was the greatest offer that I've ever had. Amen. And I do my best to take advantage of that every chance I get. Amen. I like to dine at the king's table. Amen. David said this, remember in Psalm chapter 23 and verse 5. He said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Now David was a shepherd. And he would take the sheep out, and for all of the spring and the summer, they would wander all over the Judean hills, and they would go everywhere. There was grass, and still waters, and he'd take care of sheep, and they'd spend the night out in the open, and there were varmints, there were wolves, and critters in the dark that would want to come in and steal the sheep, but David would stand there with his staff and with his rod at the ready, and he would stand against the enemies in the dark, and the little woolies could eat in peace. And David said, Lord, you're like that. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. They could see the eyes glowing in the dark, but there was David, and he stood as a centennial security between the wolves and the lambs. And he said, go ahead and eat. I got it covered. Amen. And I'm telling you today, the devil gets mad, but the Lord wants you to come and dine today. He said, he prepares a table for sin. He said, I'm going to set a table there. He said, and your enemies and those that would destroy, he said, I'm going to set a table there. And I'm going to invite you to come on and dine. Amen. So God, not only can He prepare a table in a wilderness, an unlikely place, a barren place, but God can provide a table in the presence of your enemies. Amen. God can provide a table in the presence of your enemies. That He's done. That He's done. Amen. We used to sing an old song that said, Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites His chosen people, come and dine. Amen. And I'm telling you, the table today is still spread. And if you're hungry and your soul hungers and your soul thirsts, God will prepare a table even in the wilderness. Will you stand with me, please? Thank you for your time, your attention here this morning. Amen. Just a moment. I would like to give an opportunity. If somebody came thirsting today, I offer you living water in Jesus Christ. If somebody came hungry today, I'll offer you the bread from heaven, Jesus Christ. He's here. His presence is in this place. There's an invitation. A call is going forth. A gentle tug. A soft whisper. As He invites you, come to Him. Amen. We have an altar here. If you're troubled, why don't you make peace with God? If you're hungry, come and let Him fill you. If you're thirsty, let Him quench your thirst. Amen. He's here. His presence is in this house. It's been here before this service ever started. Amen. He invites you today. You may be in a barren place in your life. Things may not be looking so good right now. You may have questions. What am I going to do? How are things going to work out? You're in a wilderness. Lodabar, a place without pasture, barren. I'm telling you today, God will provide a table even in your wilderness.